We bless your name, O God. We thank you. We thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you, Lord, for this awesome, beautiful day, a gift of life. Lord, we praise you. You alone deserve our glory. You deserve our honor. You alone do. You are the one who sits on the circles of the heart. You alone. You alone. That's you. You name all of the stars. You call them out by name. All of them. One by one. That's you who does that. You are the great God. And yet, you are our Father. We're so thankful. We're so thankful. Lord, bless this communion service today. As we get ready for our national elections, this is a very crucial season in this nation and around the world. And Lord, we look up to you, you alone. Lord, you are the governor over the nations. It is you who rules in the affairs of men. So we commit this nation into your hands. We ask for your grace and your mercy. Lord, let your will be established. Your perfect will be done. We declare peace. Nothing missing, nothing broken. You are our Jehovah Shalom. We declare that is established even in this season. We give you praise for it, Lord. We bless your holy name. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen and amen and amen. Please go ahead and be seated. Give the Lord a praise just one more time. Hallelujah. God is so good. He's so amazing. My goodness. His presence is so mighty here. Lord, have mercy. It feels like there's a million of you in here just enjoying the presence of God. Hallelujah. God is so good. Well, we have to be taking communion somewhere around 12:15. We've asked different people to join us. The Akron service finishes by 12 usually, but we've asked them to log on in different places. We might have a few other people joining us for communion today. This is we're going to just have a little word of prayer. Next week, we're going to pray a little bit more elaborately for the nation and for our new leadership. You know, there are leaders being elected this week at different levels. All of these leaders and these leadership levels are extremely crucial, extremely important, right? And, you know, today we take communion. We're going to pray just a little bit. I'll give you some pointers, things we're going to pray over as we go into the week for the elections. But next week, then, we'll have the leaders. Usually, I know lately it's been taking a little bit more time for especially the presidency to be determined. Sometimes, you know, depending on what's going on with the counting and all of that, it might take a bit longer. But, you know, by Sunday, we will know. So it will not take up to Sunday. So then we will pray for our new president and our new leaders and everyone. Glory to God. We know for sure this particular election season, we're not going to be praying for an incumbent president. You know, whoever turns president is going to be a new president, right? Whether it's the current vice president or the current nominee for the Republican Party. One of them is going to be our president next week. So we'll be able to take the time to pray for them and to pray for the nation and the other members of the leadership. But I just want us to take communion today. I have a couple of scriptures, a couple of things I need to say. We will have peace. Amen. We will have peace. Peace is our covenant right. The Lord promised us peace. Amen. Amen. That is our inheritance. Yeah. Right. You know that. Yeah. And just before coming out to the service, I went back again and read, in John 4, in John 10, where Jesus was saying, I'm the door to the sheep. I'm the door to the sheep. Jesus is the door to the church. The church is the door to the nation. The church is the door to the nation. Whatever the church declares will be established. Amen. So, of course, you know in Matthew 16:19, Jesus said, I give unto you the keys of the kingdom. Whatever you declare to be lawful is lawful. Whatever you declare to be unlawful is unlawful. In heaven. Whatever you declare on earth, heaven will regard and respect. Right? Now, it does have to be according to the word of God. You can't just declare that dollars fall from the skies and say, no, heaven would not regard that. You can't just open your mouth and declare anything. It has to be according to the word of God. It has to be in line with scriptures. And that's why we've got to get it right all the time when we pray, especially for things like the elections. So, peace is a promise the Lord has given to us. This one is not just praying for anything, like something we just want. No, it's promised to us. So when we declare that we have peace, heaven agrees with us. Amen. When we declare that confusion and every kind of turbulence is unlawful and we declare it totally unallowed, disallowed, heaven agrees with us. That is the scriptures, right? So that's part of what we're going to do. Is there going to be a very short prayer before communion? Next Sunday, we will do more of the elaborate praying. But let's look at a couple of scriptures. John chapter 14 and verse 27. Let's look at that in the Amplified Version. This is the Lord Jesus Christ speaking. The words are in red. He said, peace I leave with you. My own peace I now give and bequeath to you. Not as the world gives do I give it to you. Do not let your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. Stop allowing yourselves to be agitated and disturbed. Somebody say, no agitation for me. No agitation. Say, no disturbance for me. Say, peace on every side. Peace on every side. In this nation, in the name of Jesus. Stop allowing yourselves to be agitated and disturbed. And do not permit yourselves to be fearful. Somebody say, no fear. Say, no fear. God's will be done. And it will be established in this nation, in the name of Jesus. Do not permit yourselves to be fearful and intimidated and cowardly and unsettled. You know, last week during our celebration service, our anniversary celebration service, one of the scriptures that we read, the promise of God's shalom, the covenant of peace that he has made with us, is in Ezekiel chapter 34. Ezekiel chapter 24, let's read verse 25. Shalom is ours. Shalom is the United States of America's portion in the name of Jesus. Ezekiel chapter 34 and verse 25. Let's read that. And I will make with them a covenant of peace and will cause the evil beasts to cease out of the land, and they shall dwell safely in the wilderness and sleep in the woods. I will make with them a covenant of peace. Who is them? His people. God, you and me. Us, the church. God will make with us a covenant of peace, and he will cause the evil beasts to cease out of the land. And we will dwell safely in the wilderness, and we will sleep in the woods. When you are able to sleep in the woods, that's real quiet and peace. That's real. When you are able to sleep in the woods, and there are no strange animals threatening you, and you don't feel any sense of intimidation or fear. That is real peace. We will have real peace. Now, when I say we, I'm talking about you and me. We are God's covenant children. We represent the church, the body of Christ. But I also preface what I'm sharing with you right now by telling you the church is the door to the nation. So if God makes a covenant of peace with you and with me and the church, the body of Christ, that means we can extend that covenant to our nation. You can extend it to your family. You can extend it to your community. You can extend it to your nation. The church is the door to the nation. The church has a job. The church in America, unfortunately, my heart really beats for this nation. I know there's so many, God sent many missionaries into this land for so many different reasons. But I know that one of the reasons we were sent into this land is exactly for some of the things that we are doing, that we've been doing for the last several years. Because I see, you know, the Bible says the prosperity of a fool destroys them. Prosperity can make you lose your way. There's a scripture in the Psalms where the Bible says when riches increase, don't set your heart to it. That is, don't let your life be determined by whether you have much or whether you have little. I know during the offering, Pastor Tinu was sharing on God will be your everlasting light. It's not the sun, it's not the moon. It's nothing natural. Nothing going on in the world, nothing happening around the world should be determining your destiny, your future, and your status. You and God have an everlasting covenant. That should give you peace and rest. No matter what is going on, like Jesus, you should be able to rest and sleep in the boat. Glory to God. No matter the storm, no matter the noise, no matter the wild animals. So if you are joining us, we did ask some people to join us by 12:15. If we have some people joining us for communion, corporate communion, I'm going to get to it in a minute. I just want to give you a basis for what we're doing with communion today. It is very important that the church be the church. We are the church. I say we are the church. And God is not into a lot of the things that the church is into right now. It's very unfortunate. And I'll talk to you more and more about it as we go forward over the next several years as the Lord grants us grace. The church has to come back to the church. We have to come back to being the church. In the book of Acts, when the disciples asked the Lord Jesus Christ, they said, are you now going to restore the kingdom as you promised? He said to them, it's not for you to know the times that the Father has put in his hand. He said, your job, wait here in this place. Go to the upper room in Jerusalem and wait there until the Spirit is poured upon. That's exactly what the Lord said to them. That's almost like a political injunction he was giving to them. The church has its place. You are okay as citizens of a nation, the United States of America or any other nation. You are right to be passionate about the direction of the nation. You are right to be passionate about who leads the nation and all the different things that happen in the. It is our job. We are the light of the world. And that light begins from our community, our nation. We have a say-so. It is righteousness that exalts a nation. Sin is a reproach to any people. It is our place to become the open door for righteousness to invade, the righteousness of God, to invade a nation. But the very first place that happens is on our knees. It's in the place, our secret place with God. We cannot, our place of prayer, we cannot be distracted, so distracted by the world that we lose the essence of who we are as a church. We must not let that happen. So peace is God's will for the United States of America. Hallelujah. And peace, he said it. He said, I bequeath that peace to you. In Ezekiel, I make with you a covenant of peace. God is not in the chaos and he's not in the confusion. Peace always follows God's working. Put that up for me real quick. 1 Corinthians 14:33. You can tell the communion we're about to take, we're going to establish the covenant of peace for ourselves and for our nation, for the United States of America, even as we get into this election season. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians 14:33. Let's read that first in the King James, 14 and 33. We'll read that first in the King James, and then we'll read it also in the Amplified. For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints. That's in the King James. Let's read that in the Amplified. For he who is the source of their prophesying, just before this verse, he was talking about prophets and prophesying, the verse before this scripture. And in this scripture, he says, for he who is the source of their prophesying is not a God of confusion and disorder, but he is a God of peace and order, as is the practice in all the churches of the saints, God's people. If you want to know God's will for a community, God's will for a nation, look into the Word of God, especially look in the New Testament. Right. You can't just, look, we're New Testament people, we're God's people. We're Acts of the Apostles, Epistles, New Testament, Gospel people. You can't just be basing things that God has planned for the future of a community, a nation, on an Old Testament. Old Testament is a shadow. It's a helpful reference to support the New Covenant. The New Covenant is the New Testament. So you find things in the Old Testament that are a shadow that helps support the things in the New Covenant. But the New Covenant is the direction that God has for this dispensation. We can't reverse that. We can't take the Old Testament and then build an entire doctrine on the Old Testament and say that is God's mind for today. No, it just doesn't work that way. See, that's what those disciples were trying to do when they asked the Lord in Acts chapter 1, that scripture that I read earlier, and they asked him, are you now going to, let me read that scripture. Glory to God. We will have a president, we will have leaders, we will have different officials in this nation in the next few days. I want you to know, this is a democracy. God will not thwart the will of people. If God wanted to control the will of people, he would have done it in the Garden of Eden. He wouldn't do it. It's a democracy, so God respects the law of democracy. What the church does that helps God, that gives God access into our nation, is that we see the plan of God, which is a good, righteous plan. Though we don't know all the details of it, but we see a good, godly, righteous plan, and then we open the door to the Lord into our nation, so that good, godly, righteous plan can take root, can take effect. No good, godly, righteous plan that God has for any nation will ever take effect in a time of war or disorder or confusion or chaos. It does not happen. Look at Ukraine. Look at Gaza. Look at Israel. Look at the Middle East. You have to resolve conflict before you can get the gospel to people. Wherever conflict reigns, the gospel is limited. That's why Paul said to us in 1 Timothy, pray. Pray for the peace. Pray for your leaders and then say, pray that there will be peace and quiet. He said that in 1 Timothy. You can actually just put that up for a minute. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, I think it's verse 3 or something. Thank you. For such praying, let's start from verse 1. First of all, then I admonish and urge that petitions, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgivings be offered on behalf of all men, for kings and all who are in positions of authority or high responsibility, that outwardly we may pass a quiet and undisturbed life, and inwardly a peaceable one in all godliness and reverence and seriousness in every way. Go on to the next verse. For such praying is good and right. This is the New Testament. For such praying is good and right, and it is pleasing and acceptable to God our Savior. Why? Why? Look at the next verse. Who wishes all men to be saved and increasingly to perceive and recognize and discern and know precisely and correctly the divine truth? Give me that last one verse, that last verse 5. For there is only one God and only one mediator between God and man, and his name is Jesus Christ. His name is not Kamala Harris. His name is not Donald Trump. There's only one mediator. And this is the New Testament. There's only one mediator. Right. And so you see, we are told how to pray. There's a lot of, how did the Holy Spirit give it to me here? A lot of imbalance. Listen to this. We pray amiss a lot of times because of imbalanced scriptural understanding and because we are led by the mind and emotions rather than being led by the Holy Spirit. Many times, there's a lot of error. And these errors begin from an imbalance. Imbalance in scriptural understanding. The role of the church is to open the door. See, when Herod rose up in Acts chapter 12 and started killing the church and started hindering the work of the church, when Paul rose up in Acts chapter 8 and started persecuting the church and started hindering the work of the church got up and they prayed. And they prayed. And guess what? God won for Saul because he saw his heart and he knew what Saul needed was not, Saul didn't need to be struck dead. Saul just needed a dramatic encounter so that he can know there is a God that he doesn't know. And the Lord created that. He met him on the way to Damascus. Herod, on the other hand, didn't need any dramatic demonstration because he already saw it and his heart was hardened and he would not yield to God. So Herod, he continued to puff himself up. So Herod didn't need dramatic miracle or encounter. Herod needed a visitation of maggots. He needed angels. Some angel, God just needs to tell one angel, go down. We've given him a few years, he's not doing it. Go take care of him. And the angel just showed up one day while they were throwing a big party. And the angel struck him down. And the Bible says maggots ate him up. It's the prayer of the church. It's the power of prayer. So, we need to take our place. And that's what we're doing today. I don't know what churches are doing all over America. I know different churches. The Lord's spoken to different people, to different ministers, different pastors, different bishops to do different things. And many of them are doing exactly what we're doing today. They are praying for these elections. And they are taking communion, just like us. What we must not do, though, let's take this one last scripture, and then we'll get into communion. What we must not do, we must not lose our place. We're the door to the nation, folks. The Bible says if you sow to the flesh, you reap corruption. If you sow to the spirit, you reap life. We can't have, what's that Pastor Tinu showed me online yesterday? You know, I don't see these things, but once in a while she'll show me some of this stuff. You can't have pastors and bishops arguing on Twitter, calling one another out over who is the God appointed. That is not the role of the church. Calling themselves out. One is pulling one scripture from somewhere, another one is pulling another. I don't see that, but she showed me this yesterday. And some of these bishops, I know them. I was so heartbroken by it. What are we doing? And then people are tossing in people, you know, even people that have never stepped into church, they toss their own scripture in there on Twitter. What are we doing? The church is the door to the nation. We can't be a part of this confusion, this mess. We can't be in this mess. How can we be a part of that mess and then take the gospel around the world? Or then take the gospel to our communities and tell them Jesus loves you? We can't do it. So next week is part of what we're going to pray. We're going to take a lot of time to pray for the church in America. Because healing has to happen. There has to be healing in this nation. The Bible says we are the salt of the earth. We are the light of the world. And he said, if the salt loss is... people just trample on it. That's what he said. People trample on it. It becomes irrelevant. If the church lose your ability to preserve. Salt preserves. If you lose your ability to preserve, I mean, people just throw you in the trash. You don't count. You are irrelevant. You don't have a voice. You don't have authority. You can't make a difference. If you lose your ability to be light, you become like everybody else. We become useless. We will not be useless in Jesus' name. We will not be useless. The church in America will not be useless. We stand on the word of God. We are going to take our place. Revival is coming to this nation. Revival is coming to this nation. It's because we are full. We are so full. Bible says the prosperity of a fool is what destroys them. We're so full. You know what I mean? If you are sick, there's the best health care. If you are broke, there's help from government. If something's down, there's something for us. So the hunger and the passion to go after God, like if you don't show up, I'm done. It's no longer there. We have all we need. The prosperity of a fool destroys them. Where have you seen in the New Testament where believers are arguing over politics? Where have you seen it? Show me in the Bible where it is. It is not here in this New Testament. The only place where it happened, Paul rebuked them. He rebuked that division. He rebuked them. In the New Testament. So where is it? Why is our nation so consumed by this foolishness? We will have peace in the name of Jesus. Let's read one last scripture. If you are still with us, we're about to take communion. Psalm 85 verse 8. Hallelujah. Glory to God. There will be peace. We speak peace over this nation. We speak peace. The peace of God that passes all human understanding. We speak it over this nation in the name of Jesus. Peace in every sector. Peace in every quarter. Peace. Peace. Psalm 85 verse 8. Everybody look at it. Let's read it in King James first. Hallelujah. Thank you, Mariah. You're doing an excellent job. I will hear what God the Lord will speak. For he will speak peace unto his people. But when he does, his people don't turn again to foolishness. When God speaks peace, God's people don't turn to foolishness, because foolishness is what creates confusion. God will speak peace. We take this communion today. We have a covenant of peace. Everybody stand to your feet. We have a covenant of peace with our God. And that covenant of peace, we as the church, we make an extension of that covenant of peace to our nation. It doesn't matter. If you live in this nation, under whatever grounds, this is your nation. This is right here is your nation. And as we take this communion today, we are going to take this communion on the grounds of the covenant that our Father has made with us as the church, believing for the peace of God. Now, when we're done, you know, if you haven't voted already, make sure you vote. Some of you have voted early, which is great. Do your research. Find out, you know, what each person is saying and blah, blah, blah. And then pray. And pray. And let the Holy Spirit give you peace in your heart over what to vote for, who to vote for. At the different levels, right? Don't vote like a theologian. This is one of the problems on Twitter. Because people are using different scriptures, right? And if there's a scripture for anything. There was even a scripture for Satan to tell Jesus to disobey God. Do you know that? There was a scripture. He told him, jump down, right? He will give his angels charge. Do you know the devil told him that? There's a scripture for anything. I had a joke a long time ago. Somebody said, this scripture where, Judas or somebody, and Jesus said, go and do likewise. And somebody had just done something terrible, something evil. And the other person said, well, there's a scripture, go and do likewise. It's like using the word of God to support evil doing. You can find a scripture for anything. Go and do likewise, though, has to be in line with the mind of the Spirit of God. You can't just say, go and do likewise and use it for anything. We want to take communion together, and we want to open the door. Let God have his way. God will not superimpose his will on the will of man, but what God can do, he can influence, he can create dramatic influences for enough people to be able to determine the outcome of the election. God can do that. He can create sufficient influence for enough people to go in one direction or the other to influence the direction of that election. And when it is done, then we want the will of God to be established, right? Then God can, after the elections are done and we have our leaders, then God can influence through the prayers of the church. As we continue to pray, he can influence those leaders so that they open up the door of the country, of the nation, to the preaching of the gospel. I mean, all of this is prayer, folks. All of this is prayer. So you pray, you vote, you do your thing, have peace in your heart, vote for whoever you have, you know, conviction about, and vote out of peace. Don't vote out of condemnation. Don't vote out of what you heard somebody say or the other. No, vote. Let the Holy Spirit minister to you. And your vote is between you and the Lord. That's it. Period. And you are accountable to him for that. But when you are done voting and elections have happened, and we have our leaders next Sunday, let's come with passion to pray. We're going to be praying for one of these two people next week. Right? I don't know about you. I'm ready to pray for either one of them that the Lord opens the door to become the president. It doesn't matter to me. There's no limit anywhere. One of these people will become the leader of the free world for the next 4 years, and God can work in their lives. Amen. All right. Our ministers will come and serve us communion. Glory to God. If you are at home joining us virtual, please get your communion elements ready. Thank you. Thank you. Oh, hallelujah. We're excited in the spirit for the United States of America. Glory to God. For what our God will do in this nation. through this nation over the next few years. Hallelujah. Through the leaders, the new leaders is about to give to us. We're excited. Our hearts rejoice over the great possibilities that exist for this United States. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you. We thank you for the covenant of peace that you have given to us. Lord, we know Satan will do everything he wants and everything he desires to do to break us apart, to divide us, to tear down this nation. But we refuse to let that happen. We refuse to let that happen. So we stand on the word of God today. We take our covenant of peace that you have made with us. By the broken body of the Lord Jesus Christ, as the church, we stand and we usher in this era of peace. And we thank you for it. And we thank you for it. Let's go ahead. Let's take the body that was broken for us. Let's give God praise for the covenant of peace. In Jesus' name. Let's feed on him. In the name of Jesus, we declare through this election season period, we declare that there is quiet and calm. We shut down every form of confusion. We shut down every form of fighting, anger. We come against warfare in every form. In the name of Jesus, we receive the order of God that has been established in the Constitution of this great United States, that that order of God will be followed. And as that order of God is followed, we receive the blessing of God's peace in this nation, that all our citizenry will live in peace. Every sector will walk in peace. That, Lord, you will usher in even a new dispensation of righteousness in this nation. You'll open up the doors to the gospel to be preached. You open up the doors to the church to receive healing. The blessing of God on every area of this nation in the name of the Lord Jesus. We thank you for it, Father. We thank you for it, Lord. Let's go ahead. The precious blood of Jesus that was shed for us. Seal the covenant of peace. Let's go ahead. Let's drink with thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Just take a moment and thank God for this great, awesome season, this great week, these new leaders God is giving us. Let's thank God. Let's thank God for open heavens over the United States of America. Hallelujah. Great favor over this nation. A great new beginning for this nation in the name of Jesus. A greater tomorrow for this nation in the name of Jesus. Let's thank God. Let's thank God. As we get ready to close, let's thank God. We thank you, Lord. We rejoice. We give you thanks in advance. We give you praise. 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 Hallelujah. We give you praise. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Come on, this is in my spirit. Just take one more minute. Give him praise. Give him praise for the elections. Give him praise for the United States of America. Give him praise for the new leaders he's given to us. Give him praise for a blessed future. Give him praise for peace. Give him praise for peace. Give him praise for a new era of righteousness. Give him praise for healing. Give him praise. Give him praise. Hallelujah. We give you praise, oh God. We give you praise, oh God. We give you praise. We give you praise, oh God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.